Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
That's pretty good because what most of our words shoot for sound alike. It's like, do that. We're going triple it. So how's it going out in the world? We've got some kids on the phone here, some calling in, and we've got some bloggers. All right!
Turned off the Bluetooth, and we'll see if that's better. It's better now. Can you hear me now? Fixed. Ah, it's a Bluetooth problem.
It is.
Oh, man. Those Bluetoothers, they think they're so great.
Those Bluetoothers.
They get you every time. That's all right. We've got some external speakers that we can just hook right up. We're set.
Knocking it out this morning.
Yeah, you just can't make Belle Starr unprepared here. So we're just going to plug these in. Hopefully they work. Hopefully we've got sound. Oh, I do need another little cable. But in the meantime, Mr. Kid here is going to tell you all about what's going on. What's going on in Canada? I see a flag flying over there.
Is that fine found?
A what?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
Canadian judge fined a marijuana grower a mere $1, it's Canadian dollar, denouncing Canadian pot prohibition laws as an outdated and ridiculous and re-renouncing crime.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
We're having technical difficulties again with our. All right. So it says here, referencing Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau's plan to eventually legalize recreational cannabis, Mario LaRouche, 46, was charged with growing 30 pot plants. he was facing 90 days in jail. Instead, Justin Pierre Chevalier imposed a symbolic one loony fine on Mr. LaRouche, who uses marijuana to manage pain stemming from a car accident in the year 2000. One loony.
One loony.
Yes. There we go. One loony. So, perfect. Keep going. I'm going
to
fix this.
It says, not only did Justice Kleber refuse to legitimize the charge with a serious fine or jail sentence, he also openly questioned the wisdom of the sentencing.
Ooh.
Anyone to jail for a substance that half of all Canadians, including lawyers and judges, have sampled.
Has sampled.
According to one drug policy expert, Justice Chambers is saying out loud what many other judges are muttering under their breaths.
Uh-oh.
Perhaps Tussaud's victory over pot prohibition, Stephen Harper will lead more to the judge courageously speaking out loud.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, you've got it. Oh. Well, that's weird. Does it sound bad again? Let's just ask right off the bat. Is it good? Is it bad? Because I just plugged
he
in the sound.
He said so much
set.
Better.
All right. Well, we'll find out. Let's see. Because the audience is now coming through the computer, which, all right. Well, that's good. Thanks. Thanks, tech people out there. All right.
It sounds good.
Okay. We'll just give you all a little harp then.
Well, we got a killer interview. Mike sits down with Bernie. Ooh. Bernie Sanders.
Oh, right on. Don't we have another one with Hillary as well? After?
Yeah, we do.
My.
Hip-hop artist, pot activist, and High Times fave Killer Mike conducted a terrific one-on-one interview with Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders at Mike's Atlanta-based barbershop. During the including discussion on social justice, the subject eventually turned to marijuana legalization. And Sanders blasting the so-called war on drugs, which has destroyed many people's lives. Bernie proposed legalization and ending the Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act would remove pot from the Controlled Substance Act, allowing states to legalize it without fear of interference from the federal government.
Yeah.
During the disclosure, Sanders asked Mike what he thought of pot's current classification.
Huh.
The government views cannabis and heroin as equally dangerous.
My Lord.
Killer Mike's answer, I'm a marijuana smoker, and that's absolute bullshit.
Ah, there you go. Bada bing, bada boom.
The racially biased aspect of pot prohibition was also part of the conversation. As Sanders noted, while relative use of cannabis is equal between whites and black Americans, four times as many blacks are arrested for simple possession.
True. That's bad.
Now, we were talking about that, and Hillary had, we were talking about the scheduling. And so speaking out, scheduling to not so fast. Why Hillary Clinton's rescheduling plan does not go far enough. Speaking at a recent campaign stop in southern South Carolina, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton called for reclassifying marijuana under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, moving it from Schedule 1, the most restrictive category, to Schedule 2. The problem with medical marijuana is that there's a lot of anecdotal evidence about how well it works for certain conditions, Clinton opinion, but we haven't done enough. We haven't done any research. Why? Because it's considered what is called a Schedule 1, and you can't even research it.
Yeah, you can't research it. That's no good. Where are we here? You can't do it. You just can't research it. To resolve this dilemma, Clinton said she would move marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2, so that researchers at universities and the National Institutes of Health can start researching what is the best way to use it. How much of a dose does anybody need? How does it interact with other medications? Although Clinton's call for rescheduling represents a modest improvement in her willingness to address America's failed drug war, her newfound stance is hardly progressive. Various marijuana law reform advocates, including Normal and High Times, have filed administrative petitions over the course of the last few decades seeking to repeal pot Schedule 1 status. Even among the 2016 presidential candidates, Clinton's position isn't unique. This past spring, Republican hopeful Rand Paul co-sponsored congressional legislation that would move cannabis to Schedule 2. In September, Democratic candidate Martin O'Malley pledged that, if elected, he would use his executive powers to reschedule pot. And in November, Clinton's leading Democratic revival, Bernie Sanders, introduced legislation in the Senate to strike both marijuana and THC from the federal criminal code. Yeah. While Sanders' bill will significantly transform America's marijuana policies, Clinton's rescheduling proposal would actually do little to change the existing landscape. Moreover, her premise that scientists have yet to do any meaningful research on cannabis and its effect is woefully incorrect.
Woefully.
Unlike conventional pharmaceuticals, the marijuana plant possesses an extensive history of human use dating back thousands, I'm going to say tens of thousands, millions of years, thereby providing us with ample empirical evidence as to its safety and efficacy. Moreover, there's that word again, despite cannabis's modern-day politicization, the plant and its compounds have been subject to extensive scientific scrutiny. A search using the term marijuana on the website of the National Library of Medicine, the repository for all peer-reviewed scientific research, yields more than 22,000 papers. All right, everybody, as my bestie would say, GTS, Google this stuff. National, of course, that's not what she says. National Library of Medicine, get on there and look up marijuana, and you'll find over 22,000 papers referencing the plant and or its constituents. Among this extensive body of literature are over 100 randomized controlled studies involving thousands of subjects evaluating the safety and efficacy of cannabis or individual cannabinoids. A 2012 review of several of these trials concluded that, based on evidence currently available, the Schedule 1 classification is not tenable. It is not accurate that cannabis has no medical value or that information on safety is lacking. In short, Clinton's argument is both ignorant and unpersuasive. Marijuana shouldn't be included in the Controlled Substances Act whatsoever because ample scientific evidence already exists disproving the government's claim that it is among the most dangerous substances known to humankind. Moreover, moving cannabis to Schedule 2, the same category as cocaine, so she wants to keep it, she wants to take it from heroin to cocaine. Okay. Continues to misrepresent the plant's safety relative to other controlled substances and fails to provide states with the ability to create their own pot policies free from federal interference. Curiously, the federal regulations that make it so difficult to conduct research on marijuana in the United States, such as the requirement that all samples used must come from the University of Mississippi pot program, which was granted a virtual monopoly on cultivation by the federal government, apply only to cannabis, not to Schedule 1 drugs in general. Thus, simply moving cannabis to Schedule 2 will do nothing to change these regulations. And finally, the sort of long-term phase 3 trials that Clinton advocates, the gold standard of medical research, are prohibitively expensive. Typically, such trials are funded by private pharmaceutical companies hoping to bring a product to market. In other cases, the federal government will assist in paying these costs. However, neither entity is likely to pony up the tens of millions of dollars necessary to conduct these trials for cannabis anytime soon, if ever. This is not to say that rescheduling cannabis wouldn't have any positive effects at a minimum. It would bring an end to the federal government's longstanding intellectual dishonesty about pot, especially the claim that it lacks accepted medical use. It would also likely result in state-compliant cannabis businesses being able to use banks and other financial services and to take tax deductions similar to those enjoyed by other businesses. But it would do little to significantly ameliorate federal prohibition or to make herbal cannabis accessible for clinical studies. These goals can only be accomplished by descheduling cannabis completely and treating it in a manner similar to alcohol or tobacco. This will give states the power to establish their own marijuana policies free from federal intrusion. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a mouthful.
Wow. See, and this is exactly what I want, this greenhouse. Can so, you know, it's like that whole thing when you're walking your dog and all of a sudden,
from
squirrel.
From schedule to?
Squirrel. Greenhouse.
To greenhouses.
Well, one of our beautiful bloggers sent us a picture of an incredible greenhouse that needs to go up in my backyard. This is amazing. As soon as the stuff's legal, that's bam, Home Depot. Look,
fantastic little thing.
Look out, Home Depot.
Weekend warrior.
Holy Home Depot. Well.
This cannabis sets the stage for a deeper healing.
So, there's not going to be any deeper healing if Hillary gets in and only puts it on, you know, Schedule 2. That's not going to be
okay. She's not getting it.
From heroin to cocaine? Come on, she isn't getting it.
She's not getting it.
And she's not getting it. I mean, what's not
to get? She's not going
to get in. She's okay, but she's not getting in. But yeah, cannabis does set the stage for deeper healing. What do you got to say? Look, there's Buddha holding a butt.
Mm-hmm. Producing and relaxing response.
Mm-hmm.
Modulating the endocannabinoid system and alerting our state of consciousness.
Mm.
Emotionally, authentically, and increasing positively.
Sorry, I have to go back to this picture of Hillary in High Times magazine. If anyone has it, it's on page 23. It's awesome. Someone superimposed two joints in her hands. It's amazing. Oh, I love it. I love people for that reason. You got to love it. I love it. Wow, there's some amazing gardens in here. We've got the petition. If you'd like to come sign and legalize cannabis in the state of Arizona, come down to Tumbleweed Health Center, please, at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come on down. Check it out. Beautiful facility. Lots of education. We've got amazing doctors on staff 6 days a week to answer all your questions. And we have a naturopathic doctor that's, like, wicked with her herbs and spices remedies for everything under the sun. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Wow. Check it out. The beaches of Negril provided the backdrop of the World Cannabis Cup. After 27 years, High Times has moved its cannabis World Cannabis Cup to Jamaica. That wasn't our intention. For over a quarter of a century, we've invited marijuana aficionados from across the globe together in Amsterdam every November to sample genuine cannabis freedom and, of course, some of the best pot in the world. The Cannabis Cup has been instrumental in furthering the concept of legalization, with those in attendance asking themselves, why can't we have this in our own country too? Funny thing is, as the acceptance of cannabis has grown in the United States, it has regressed in Holland. The number of coffee shops there is being diminished as conservative politicians rail against narco-tourism, the term they use to vilify an industry catering to responsible adults who wish to partake of a little pot in peace. Last year, our cannabis cup in Amsterdam was nearly crushed by the city's rabid opposition. In February of 2015, the Jamaica government decriminalized the personal possession of 2 ounces or less, now punishable by only a $4 fine. I love it. Further revisions to the law permit each Jamaican household to grow a maximum of 5 plants, while adult Rastafarians, once severely persecuted by authorities for their spiritual use of ganja, can now use it freely for sacramental purpose. As a result, Jamaica loomed large as the logical location for the next World Cannabis Cup. Working closely with Justice Minister Mark Golding, High Times was pleased to hold its inaugural Jamaica Cup under the auspices of the Rastafari Roots Fest, a celebration of Rasta culture that took place on the pristine 7 Mile beach in Negril. In this issue, read associate publisher Rick Kusick's epic tale of driving across the island, procuring entries for the competition. Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Could you imagine? Nope. Also, High Times web editor, Emily, I'm sorry, Emily Zagleski, Polish, Zagleski.
Yeah, more with words.
Zagleski reports on the Fort. Thanks, Emily. She reported on the 4-day Caribbean Bash, which featured great local ganja and stellar reggae acts while fostering an increased understanding of the principles of Rastafarianism. Ah, check it out. That's awesome. So we're going to Jamaica next year for the Cannabis Cup. The World Cannabis Cup has moved. Amsterdam. What happened to the Netherlands, Mr. Netherlands? Oh, man. That's just not okay. That is just not okay. What you got there?
No, I didn't have. I was trying
Here's
to get on.
Here's a pregnancy question. I love these questions in High Times magazine because they dare to ask the questions that's on so many people's minds.
That no one's asking.
I'm sure there are readers like me who are concerned with the effect that marijuana may have on pregnancies and newborns, specifically whether it's safe or advised to breastfeed while using marijuana, and how it might affect a child's development.
Ooh,
good question.
So good.
I have found very few studies that aren't prejudiced about cannabis, so I would be interested in finding more information on the subject. Cassidy Sativa. Check out Breathe, Push, Puff, Pot Use and Pregnancy, a review of the literature by Paul Armentano at normal.org. Also, Ina Mae Gaskin, perhaps the world's most respected midwife, is forthright about the benefits of cannabis. You can easily find out what she has to say in numerous articles online. Ina Mae Gaskin. Ina Mae Gaskin. So check that out. So we're going to have to look that up and report back about some articles about pot and pregnancy, because we do get patients that come in and they've got severe nausea and they can't eat, and they're losing weight, and their babies are in danger because they're losing weight, and that's not okay. So, there's got to be a balance. Maybe hemp oil is better for them because it's non-psychoactive, but we have to find out, and I'm sure there's a ton of articles and we will read, and I'm sure Ms. Regina Nelson of ECS Therapy Group, her and Mark, I'm sure know about this for sure.
Yeah.
And they're going to be on. We've got to have them on soon.
They will definitely go into detail about how cannabis works in the woman's body. Regina has done lots of research.
Extensively, yeah.
And they've been helping many people out that have had terminal illness, cancers, tumors, epilepsy, all kinds of stuff that, the essential oil of this product pretty much, that the oil that everyone's talking about is the best way to cure to help out with these ailments that are coming down on us so hard right now.
Yeah, and the older you get, the more you get.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's just the fact of life.
The bursitis is the arthritis is the inflammation of things.
Parkinson's, dementia.
Oil, the concentrates and things like that. The plant itself, all of it, just helps so much in the body. And so knowing that if pregnant women are needing it, it's non-toxic. So that's the first thing that we know.
Yeah.
And so,
that's what I was telling someone yesterday in the health center, that it is a non-toxic plant. And just like anything, any plant, any substance you take, even coffee, water, it can have a negative effect on your system if you're not careful with how you use
right.
it. Cannabis can increase or decrease your blood pressure. We hear it thins your blood. If you're already prone to anxiety and disorders like that, it can increase that. If you get the wrong strain, if you get too much of a sativa, it can definitely increase anxiety, and something you don't want. You want it to relieve anxiety, relieve tension, to relax you, to relax your body, relax your muscles. So make sure, and we always tell people, it's like with any over-the-counter medicine, ibuprofen, Advil, et cetera, and Tylenol, whatever you're taking, some work for you and some don't work for you.
Right.
So don't give up. If you try...
Ask questions.
Ask a lot of questions. If you try one thing and it doesn't work for you, don't give up, because there might be something else that does work for
you. Right, and I think Bell said introducing some hemp or CBD into your system as well as the THC, because they work together and they work synergistically to help the body maintain a balance.
Yep.
Just like anything else would.
Yep. We've got some fun things about hemp on the website. Check it out. George Washington, champion of growing hemp.
Champion? Is that what he's
the champion. Champion. Now he's the champion of growing hemp. The recent occasion of President's Day allows us to take some time to look back and reflect on presidents of yore and discuss the things they championed. Oh, I feel like I need my
presidents.
I feel like I need
yore.
My Dr. Quinn hat for this. All right, now I feel better. All right, when you talk about the father of our country, our founding forefather, George Washington. You really can't have a discussion of his life without talking about hemp. Washington, like most of the founding forefathers, was a man of substantial wealth. He owned several farms in the Virginia area and was a big proponent of industrial hemp, using it for rope, thread, canvas, and repairing nets. While some like to believe Washington also smoked hemp, this scenario is highly unlikely, especially since he would have felt no effect from smoking the hemp besides a headache. To grow marijuana as we know it today, Washington would have had to segregate the plants growing industrial hemp in the same area, as good old get-me-high Zakat marijuana will only result in cross-pollination, which would destroy the THC-producing abilities of the plant. Believe it or not, hemp was a common crop in the days of the founding forefathers. Its utility was championed by the U.S. government right up until World War II in the famous Hemp for Victory war film, which you can see at Tumbleweed Health Center. After that, its association with now illegal and evil marijuana caused it to fall out of favor. I love when they spell it with an H. It's awesome.
Juana.
This injustice has only recently been remedied as the federal government has backed off its prohibition of industrial hemp, and several states have passed legislation reallowing it to be grown. Huge fields of hemp are grown just a few dozen miles south of where I write this in Kentucky. The founding forefathers knew a lot, and one of those things was the amazing ability of the industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else is amazing?
Puff, 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 puff. Puff, 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 puff,
my house, like, what up? I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cotton mouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs would be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, they need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal, but science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons, I'll take those four major lobby groups and bite those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interests. I call that getting swindled and pimped. Shit, I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peak game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special
Special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let them know war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with bribery. I must have some weed.
Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunt, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome.
On February 1st of 2002, when a 5,263-pound marijuana seize was made at the port.
Start over. Welcome back to Weed Say Wednesday. We had a dead silence. Oh, my. Look. It's just, you know what?
Sorry. Well,
we're getting closer to the anniversary of Tech Guy, and he's around. And let's see.
Right, we'll start over.
Do over. Welcome back, Weed Say Wednesday.
Good morning. I'm...
You're Canada's kid. I'm Bill Starr. We are back
in
action.
And this is Weed Say Wednesday.
And it is. And happy birthday, Bestie. Woo-hoo! Go.
Huge pot seizure at the border.
On the border.
Nearly 5,000 pounds of pot, almost 2.5 tons.
Holy cow.
Were confiscated by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection at the New Mexico's Santa Teresa Port of Entry in the biggest marijuana seizure there in over a decade.
Wow.
Officials were initially suspicious of two tankers hauled by a flatbed tractor trailer. X-rays showed anomalies in the tankers, and to closer examination revealed a green substance that tested positive for pot.
A green substance?
Border agent then drilled into the bottom of the two tankers, locating hidden compartments in each that contained a grand total of 4,938 pounds of compressed cannabis.
Dang, I think you would have done that right.
I know.
God.
Well, the estimated value on that bell was $3.9 million. And according to the assistant port director, this is the largest drug bust at Santa Teresa Port since February 1st of 2002, when a seizure of 5,263 pounds was found at the port, and apparently smugglers go big. Well, sorry.
Beep.
Apparently smugglers go big at Santa Teresa. So that, because that's the biggest one.
Well, go big or go home.
Right.
Jeez.
If you're going to go out across the border, you might as well just take it all out with you.
So check this out. Uruguay is going to sell 3 levels of pot. You got to love saying Uruguay. Uruguay. It's like living in the Ozarks.
You mean different levels of...
Let's find out. Uruguay's National Drug Board President Milton Romani explained the country's plan to sell 3 different types of legal recreational pot in pharmacies beginning summer of 2016. According to Romani, cannabis consumers will have 3 options, which currently carry the uninspired designations high, medium, and low, depending on the percentage of THC. Okay, so we've got just 3 different levels, low, medium, and high, depending on THC levels. Authorities carefully chose the cannabis from a number of strain options with various levels of THC and CBD. Romani added the importance of the lowest level, which is recommended by the board for inexperienced smokers.
Very good. Is that like unleaded, mid-grade?
Yeah, and super.
Super.
Mm-hmm. It's like Sears, good, better, best. I love it.
Good, everyone's got to have it.
Yeah. TM. Legal weed in Uruguay will retail for around $1.20 per gram, and that's about $33 an ounce. I get a woot-woot? Yeah.
Can you imagine those prices? I mean, just...
Adults can possess up to 40 grams of pot, but only registered residents of Uruguay may buy buds.
Oh. Well,
okay.
Hmm.
Okay. So if you come from another country and I get it. I get it. It's like Arizona's thing. You can possess it, but you just can't go buy it. Right? You just can't go to the dispensary. So if you're caught here in Arizona with your weed, put your weed in it. If you're caught with your weed in it.
Put your weed in it.
If you're caught with your weed in it, we hope you have a card. And you can get your card at tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
I wonder when Uruguay is going to have the cannabis cup there.
5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. I don't know. Three levels of pot for $1.20 a gram? Goodness gracious, that's a lot. You know what it says? Most pot rehab is involuntary. So pot rehab, do you know that they have, they have like AA for alcoholics and then like, NA for Narcotics Anonymous and then MA for Marijuana Anonymous. Most rehab is involuntary, though. According to a study from the federal government, the majority of Americans recently treated for marijuana abuse were referred there by the criminal justice system. These sobering stats were released by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in 2015. The report finds that roughly 52% of all Americans 12 and older in rehab for pot between 2003 and 2013 were forced there by the criminal justice system.
Ooh.
Like probation, your parole officers, the courts, the judges. It's
your mom
bad.
And dad.
Your mom and dad. Incredibly, the government's own study finds only 18% of all those in treatment for pot admitted themselves, meaning most individuals in reefer rehab are being forced to participate. So much for prohibitionists proving pot's addictiveness by citing how many people are in rehab for cannabis. That's pretty messed up if you're forcing people to do that. And I've seen that. I've seen our court system at work, and it's not a really good system. I've seen it fail right in front of my face, and it's a pretty sad thing.
We're doing it wrong.
We are doing it wrong. There are a lot of wrong things here, and we need to, I'm glad we're starting with pot. I'm glad, not starting with it. It's been going on for tens of thousands of years, but you know what? If anyone complains about President Obama in this country, they must obviously not like marijuana because look at what's going on.
Right.
I seriously think he's going to just, sign that paper and...
On his way out?
Yeah, grab a doobie and walk out the White House. Well, okay, he'll get in his limo with 40 other limos protecting him. Put your weed in it. All right.
So we got Illinois benefits from marijuana windfall.
All right.
Pot patients had to wait nearly 2 years for the state to implement its medical marijuana program. Better late than never.
Yep.
During the first month, the legal medical marijuana pot sales, a total of 1,713 registered patients, purchased nearly $800,000 worth of weed from 16 state licensed dispensaries.
Wow.
There was good news for the cash-strapped state, as well as thanks to the 7% sales tax on wholesale marijuana sales.
Mm.
Illinois collected about $56,550 in taxes in the first month alone.
Wow.
The encouraging figures were announced by Program Director Joseph Wright. Unfortunately, prices are still a bit high, as the average gram costs about
$14.50.
Hmm. It's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Well, we're still $18. Here
it's our average gram?
In Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have their sales. I think everyone has a $10 sale here and there.
Here and there.
But mostly, if you go in on an off day, you're paying about $18 a gram.
You surely are. With it, yeah.
I went in and picked up some edibles the other day.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because the state's medical cannabis law official went into effect on January 1st of 2014. However, bureaucratic interference and prohibition paranoia delayed the implementation of the program until November 9th of 2015.
Well, at least they have it now, and that's not too bad,
right.
$14 a gram, $14.50 a gram. That's pretty good. You know, what we say is we're really glad that people are starting to have a program no matter what it is.
Yep.
It might not be perfect, but at least they're starting somewhere. put one foot in front of the other. Can't sing that high. Anyway, I love that in the, you know, the Abominable Snowman. When he starts singing that, he starts walking around.
You just got to do it.
You got to put one foot in front of the other. And you got to start somewhere. And, you know, I really think that, and I'm sure everybody else does, I'm sure, you know, the government will get a hold of this officially in another 5-10 years and throw out their own program and say, all right, guys and Gail, this is how we're doing it. This is how you do it. Right?
Yeah.
And then we'll all follow that. It'll be just like alcohol. You'll have some dry counties. You'll have some people that just don't want to participate in the program. Hopefully, they will still be able to allow others that want to participate in it. Yeah. A fine is a fine. All right. Bungling Bud Burglar bungles burglary.
Ooh.
Say that, Cindy, little Cindy Brady, 20 times. Bungling Bud Burglar bungles burglary. We need a laugh track. Stealing marijuana is never smart. However, it's especially dumb to pilfer pot from a law enforcement evidence room. Yet that is exactly what Roderick Dwayne McClure was sentenced for in Tyler, Texas federal court. McClure received 56 months in federal prison for conspiracy to distribute 110 pounds of pot he swiped from an East Texas marshal's office. During the break-in, McClure actually tried to cover up the crime by replacing the pot with fire starter logs. He also left behind a fake note written in Spanish along with a map with directions from Brownsville, Texas, in a ham-handed attempt to make authorities believe a Mexican cartel was responsible for the theft. McClure didn't limit himself to pot during his ill-conceived spree. He also stole cocaine, prescription drugs, and firearms from the evidence room. The brazen thief was eventually busted after sending digital photos of the stolen pot to a potential buyer in Dallas. What a dummy. And for 110 pounds, should have kept and smoked it.
Yeah.
Man, should have just been giving that to your neighbors and been like everybody's best friend.
Yeah, you shouldn't have tried so hard.
Yeah. Huh. Don't try so hard. Jeez Louise. Did you know Oregon pot prices are getting ready to soar?
Oh.
What were you reading? Look at that.
I was reading this little fun thing because I know how much me and you like fun clothing that has fun things on them.
Okay, read about the fun thing.
I know. It says
read it,
Retro
read it.
Image Apparel.
Ooh.
The High Road Collection.
Hey.
Fun expressive performance wear.
Okay.
For cannabis loving athletes. The High Road Collection includes 6 vivid strains, inspired design, Purple Haze, Sour Diesel, OG Kush, Blue Dream, Trainwreck, and Strawberry Cop. Full zip jerseys and tees are available in short and long sleeve versions.
Wow.
The shorts are vibrantly printed using dyes sublimation to keep the colors bright and true.
Wow.
And they are crafted from high-tech moisture wicking fabric from optimal temperatures and humid control. Humidity control.
Yeah.
They even offer a 30 SPF sun protection as many cyclists who enjoy a puff or two and an epic ride known as the enjoy a puff or two after an epic ride known. Cannabis can be a part of a healthy, active, outdoor lifestyle, and these strains and teas are a perfect fit. $49 and up. And these are at retrotoride.com. These are really cute. So they're all like old time, like with the old cars from that movie Cars. The truck. And
yeah, it's a really good one. I was checking it out. I like the long sleeves. That's really fun. And they've got hoodies too.
Hoodies.
Did they say hoodies?
Yes.
And 30 SPF sun protection for you little Irish folk out there.
Well, and anyone who is maybe bike riding here for
the
Tucson.
If you're not used to this heat out here and this sun, it's crazy. It can be a little crazy out here. But you know what?
I love Kush anything.
I love Kush anything. That's me.
That's
I
so
do.
Funny.
I do love Kush anything. This kosher Kush that we're on here. That's a little energetic.
No, we're on here.
Did you know Oregon pot prices are soaring? Cannabis testing Lab professionals as well as pot shop owners in Oregon are predicting a likely spike in medical and retail prices next year due to new regulations taking effect in June of 2016. The health authority released a list of 59 pesticides that will have to be tested for on Oregonian legal weed, and we get a hand clap for that because we're testing.
Testing is so important.
Testing is important.
Keep on telling everybody that.
Oh,
you're ingesting
on,
it in your system.
You did it again. They're forcing labs to make investments in equipment to check pot for pesticides as well as increase labor hours to undertaking such testing. These factors will inevitably drive prices up for the cannabis consumer. Dispensary owners agree that the requirements will drive up all costs, which will ultimately be passed on to the customer. Under the new regulations, legal pot is expected to undergo more rigorous testing than any other agricultural product in Oregon. The new rules come in the wake of an investigation by the Oregonian that revealed numerous pesticides in randomly tested strains. Well, Jesus, if they're testing for 59 different pesticides already, holy cow, I wonder what they found in those random tests that they...
That made them want to test for more things?
Yeah, and that made them already start with 59 different chemicals that you can't have in there. That's not okay. Get those chemicals out. I think better marijuana is better than having bigger marijuana. Wouldn't you say? Don't you think?
I would definitely say that.
Yeah. It's quality, not quantity. You can grow as much of anything as you want, but it's got to be good. Right?
Right. And if you're not getting the right levels of cannabinoids in there, you're not going to have very much medicine.
Yeah.
It doesn't, especially for those conditions that need that high forms of THC and CBD.
Here's a quote. I love this. Weed helps me with depression. When I have the right hybrid, it changes my headspace.
Mm.
It really does. It really can put a smile on your face. That's why when patients come to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103, we're in the back. When they come and they visit and they say, you know what? I don't want to get that high stuff. I don't want to get that stuff that makes me high. And I say, what's wrong with a little bit of happy? And they giggle. And I go, seriously, this is, I mean, we have it really good in our country. God bless America. We have it really good in this country. Other countries don't have it so good. But there is still a lot of stress in our country. Individuals are stressed. Our country is stressed. The planet is stressed. It's stressful times. So what's wrong with a little bit of happy? And when the little bit of happy fades, you're still with left with a lot of relaxation and pain relief. Your inflammation's down. Everything's, you know, working as it should. And you're still relaxed all day, you know. But the high, and that's what the high is. That's what I like to use as my phrase, is a little bit of happy. But you got to find the right strain. You got to test.
Mm-hmm.
You got to experiment a little bit. And what is that? It looks like a toilet. I'm just going to say it out loud. There's a giant ad in this article. And it's called the, I can't even
it's
read.
It's the ceramic honey bucket.
What does that say? Brohurst. It's the ceramic honey bucket?
Yeah.
It does look like a tiny toilet for,
This goes on your water pipe. So your glass bong.
All right.
And these are apparatuses that, being that concentrates are in such high demand now and people are using them more and more to get the relief that they need and the medicine that they need, we are starting to see all kinds of difference.
Apparati.
Coming out.
Look, that looks like a plunger. I'm not even kidding. This
so that is a carb cap dabber poker. And that is a D-nail at the end. So this is from Hive.
My goodness.
And
I have, this
these
is,
just
this
hook
is
right on, right onto here.
I'm going to hook it right onto there.
And then you heat it up.
I
want to
smoke some weed.
Yeah, there's so much
you know
stuff.
What I like
we
about
just got
my bong?
The new High Times. That's what
you
we're
know
talking
about. You know what I like about my bong? You put your weed in it. Sorry.
We are reading from the High Times this morning.
We are, because we're having fun.
April 2016, it's not even April yet.
It's not even out yet. We're giving you a serious...
This is a
pre-issue. Yeah, pre-issue. Oh, I love looking at what's going on across the state as far as it says the trans high market quotes. So for Arizona, in Phoenix, Blue Dream costs $2.50 an ounce. I wonder if it has pesticides in it. What do you think? What do you think? Florida, you can get Super Silver Haze, but it's $360 an ounce. Whoa, that's a lot of money.
Did you see Washington? Washington is $160.
Get out. New Jersey's $400 an ounce. Oh, my. For Juicy Fruit in Seattle. Let's go to Seattle. Can we write, we can write it off, I'm sure. Oh, in Canada, Space Queen can get Space Queen for $200. That's really great. What are your favorite? Oh, Lowrider. You have to go to Vermont. You have to go to Vermont to get Lowrider for $280 an ounce. That's not bad. But I think our highest price is New Jersey and Louisiana. Skywalker OG in Louisiana. That's $400 an ounce. That's a lot of money. What's New York going for? What do we have? New York, Brooklyn, and Rochester sell Three Kings and Sour Diesel. Woo! You can get Sour Diesel for $190, but don't you dare ask for Three Kings for anything less than $360. I don't even know what Three Kings is, but
That's a strain, right?
I guess
I've
so.
I've heard of that strain before being a pretty popular strain.
$380. Oh, buying weed in New York, are we?
Mm-hmm. $380 in New York.
$380 in New York. Well, if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you'll see that America's marijuana legalization hotbed ain't on the West Coast. It's New England. No state east of the Mississippi has legalized marijuana, but the land of Yankees has several states that could free the weed this year. Free the weed. No state east of the Mississippi has legalized marijuana, but that's very likely to change this year, and New England will be leading the way. Two of the six New England states will likely let the voters make the call in November, while the others all have legalization bills pending. So far, with the exception of Washington, D.C., where voters elected to legalize possession and cultivation, but not the sale of marijuana in 2014, all the legalization action has been in the West. The four states that have legalized so far, Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, are all Western states. Woohoo! More Western states will likely legalize this year, including Arizona and California and Nevada. The Nevada Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act has already qualified for the November ballot, while the Arizona campaign behind the state's Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act is well advanced in signature gathering and appears poised to easily qualify for the ballot as well. Meanwhile, California's Control, Regulate, and Tax Adult Use of Marijuana Act is late out of the gate, but well-financed and broadly supported. It, too, should be on the ballot in November. Oh, please, people. Another possible legalization state this year is Michigan, where the campaign behind the Michigan Marijuana Legalization, Regulation, and Economic Stimulus Act just last week announced that it has 240,000 raw signatures and is aiming for 300,000 by March. But it needs 252,000 ballot voter signatures to qualify. And with the rule of thumb for petition campaigns being that between 20 and 30% of raw signatures are likely to be invalidated, whether the Michigan initiative will qualify remains to be seen. But it's Yankees country that will see the most concentrated regional push towards marijuana legalization this year. Initiatives that make the ballot will go before New England. Populations that are showing majority support for legalization this year, and while progress toward legalization through the legislative progress can be achingly difficult, the region also appears poised to produce the first state to free the weed through the legislation, not the popular vote. Here's a rundown on New England's legislation efforts this year. Chances are good that legalization will happen in two of them, the initiative states, and possibly in one or more of the other states. So check it out in Connecticut. Earlier this month, Representative Juan Candelaria introduced House Bill 5209, which would allow adults to use, grow, and sell marijuana. And a similar bill was introduced last year that went nowhere. I'm going to be pushing very hard, Candelaria said. I'm going to be engaging my leadership in conversation to at least allow a public hearing. And that's as far as I'm comfortable going. The governor said that he would only go as far as to support medical marijuana. Okay. In Maine, the legalization initiative from the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol has not yet officially qualified for the ballot, but is poised to. February 1st, the campaign turned in more than 103,000 raw signatures from the petition drive. It only needs 61,000 valid voter signatures to qualify for the November ballot. and should have a sufficient cushion to do so. The most recent of Maine's attitudes towards marijuana legalization from the spring of 2015 had support at 65%. It's coming. They know it's coming. Massachusetts. The legalization initiative from the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol has already qualified for the ballot, but not under the Massachusetts law. The legislature must first take up the issue. If, as expected, it fails to adopt legalization, the campaign must then collect another 10,000 signatures to place the initiative on the November ballot. It should be able to do that easily, and if it gets on the ballot, it should win, although perhaps not as handily as Maine. There are no hot-off-the-press polls, but a 2014 poll supports had support of 53%, and the Boston Globe from last year had a dead heat with a 48% in favor, 47 opposed. Ooh, that's close. Number says tightening, it's not a done deal. But given expected high voter turnout this election year, the Bay State should be able to pull it off. In New Hampshire, the House actually passed a legalization bill in 2014, only to see it die in the Senate. This year, there are already three legalization bills filed, but two of them have already been deemed inexpedient to legislate in committee. The remaining legalization bill, House Bill 1610, is currently before the House Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. Even if the bill were to pass the House, it faces a tough battle in the Senate. In addition to killing legalization in 14, the Senate has at least twice killed decriminalization bills that passed the House. In Rhode Island, Rep. Scott Slater said he will file a marijuana legalization bill in the General Assembly this week, and Joshua Miller will file companion legislation in the Senate. As of Saturday, the bills have not been posted on the legislative website, but they are definitely coming. This marks the fifth consecutive year legalization bills have been filed in Providence, and they have previously been stifled. But there are signs progress that could be made this year. The Senate bill has 17 co-sponsors out of 38 senators, and the House bill has more than 30 co-sponsors. Republican House Leader Brian Newberry supports it, and House Speaker Nick Mattiello, who has long opposed legalization, is now becoming more open-minded as highest tax revenues from pot in already legal states. Well, duh. And Vermont, the Green Mountain State, is the most likely to actually pass a legalization bill this year. Senate Bill 241, backed by Governor Peter Shumlin, has already passed the Senate Judiciary and Finance Committee and is moving fast towards the Senate floor vote, but the committees have amended the bill to kill home cultivation and to reduce the legalized amount from 1 ounce to a half ounce. And if when the bill gets out of the Senate, it still faces a tough battle in the House. This could well be the year New England goes green. Winning in three states, Maine, Massachusetts, and Vermont, would be a very big victory. Winning in more would be a very pleasant surprise. Not winning in any of them would be a huge setback for the marijuana reform movement, but at this point, that looks extremely unlikely. Wow. All right. And guess what time it is? I can't even believe it's this time already.
Is it
again.
That time?
It is. It's that time again. And
it's time to say goodbye.
I know. I don't know if you guys can still hear us when the sound comes on, because now we can't hear a sound. We're just going to unplug it and listen ourselves. So there we go. Thank you for being here during all of these crazy technical difficulties. Insane.
Sticking with us throughout
the whole program. Tech Guy, we know you're around. We love you. We miss you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's coming upon a year. And you are not ever not thought of. There. How's that? You're never not thought of. Absolutely. We love you. Happy birthday to the bestie. And join us. We've got our 4-year coming up, March 16th. We got some confirmations moving around. Mr. Flatshore is coming, and we're pretty sure Miss Heidi Hanford and Irvin Rosenfeld will be there.
Come out and see Tumbleweeds and Bellstar and the Cannabis Kid at the Peace Fair on February 27th at Reed Park.
Yes, come out.
Banshell area.
You are. That's right, Banshell.
Whole day.
Yeah, all day.
Fun day. All kinds of fun stuff.
11 to 5, I believe it is. 11 to 4, 11 to 5. It's free. It's a kid event.
Food,
bring your animals, food trucks, yep, music, and lots of environmental information.
Cool.
So come down, check it out. Come down to TumbleweedHealthCenter.com. Check it out. We love you, remember.
Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Happy Weed Day.
See you next week.